Please take your Bibles, open them up to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 21 through 34. I've entitled the message, Insight into Kingdom Parables. And once you're at Mark chapter 4, we're going to go to the book of James, chapter 1 as a cross-reference, so move forward in your Bibles. Just after the book of Hebrews, you'll see James. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for another day. You've given us life, Lord. Given us breath to worship and praise you, Lord. No matter what our circumstances may be, we want to glorify you, Lord. And we want to hear what you have to say to us this morning through your word. And I pray as we look at Mark chapter 4, that you'll give us some insight, some nuggets of these parables, and that we can apply them to our lives, that we can know biblical truth, insight into your word. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to read each section to you guys, and then we'll exposit it together. Beginning in verse 21, it says, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. This morning we are again, picking up here in Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at three of Jesus' parables in our section of Scripture. And if you're with us last week, we looked at one of them, and it was the parable of the sower. You might remember Jesus spoke of a farmer who went out and cast seeds into the farm, into the land. And there are four different soils which the seed fell on. And the seed, as we discovered last week, is the Word of God. And the soils that we discovered is the heart of man. And that one out of the four soils only responded with fruit. And we've seen that last week. And this morning, we're going to kick it off. We're going to continue to look at three more parables. Three additional parables. And each point that I go through this morning is the point that deals with each parable. So let's look at our first one, what I just read to you. And our first point is the responsibility of sharing God's word. Look with me, beginning in verse 21. And he said to them, that is Jesus, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. And then he concludes, if anyone has ears to hear, that's spiritual ears, let him hear. So this morning, this first parable is referred to as the parable of the lamp and basket. Jesus spoke approximately of 30 different parables. Mark only covers four in this chapter. He has spoken many through the other Gospels. And as we look at this parable dealing with the lamp and the basket, verse 21 tells us that no one lights a lamp and then hides it. No one lights a lamp and then hides it. He gives us a picture of here of someone coming into the first century home carrying a light. And back then, a lamp would typically be kind of like a clay saucer that would be filled with oil. And at the center of this saucer, if you will, this lamp, would be a wick. and they would light the wick and then come into a home. No lights back then, like modern day, where you flip a switch. You'd have to carry one of these cup-like lamps into your home so that it would bring full light so you could see exactly where you're going. And he says in verse 21 that the light brings light into the whole house. And then he mentions no one puts that light and sets it on a lampstand. Back then, a lampstand would be a shelf that would protrude from the wall. So you'd carry this light and you'd put it on the lampstand to bring light. That is what we are supposed to do. And the light here represents God's word. Again, it's a parable that the people would understand, and if they didn't understand, they would go to Jesus to get insight on the matter. And parables were used, and this is key to catch, as we mentioned last week, is to use, it's a moral story or a truthful story that would be presented to people, and if people wanted more insight into it, they would just come to Jesus and ask. And we saw last week that the disciples came to Jesus, not just the 12, but more than the 12. There were genuine believers who wanted more insight into the story. And here Jesus is saying, no one comes in, lights a lamp, puts it on a stand, and then puts it out. There'd be no purpose for that. And then in verse 22, he says, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. In other words, hidden things are meant to be brought into the open. That's the purpose of a light. It's to be let. We don't light it. We don't put it under a basket to cover it. It wouldn't make any sense, right? We wouldn't stick it underneath a bed to be hidden by the bed so you can't see where you're going. The whole purpose is that light and truth would go out and that people would be able to see it. And he's saying here, hidden things are to be brought into light. God, in essence, is saying through Jesus Christ in this parable that we are called to share the light. And in the context of this passage, he's saying we're called to share the word to others. We don't hide the word. We share the word. And in the context of last week's parable of the sower, we're called to share the word that is the gospel to people all around us. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. We aren't to hide it. We are to share the gospel. That's evangelism. The gospel that goes out into all the world. We don't hide it. Think about it for a moment. We have the eternal word of God that can save souls. The worst thing we can do is hide it. Could you imagine if we had a truth, a life-giving serum that we can give to people so they could live life longer? Let's say they have a disease or some kind, and you could give them this serum to sustain life. Wouldn't we want to tell them about this truth so they could live longer? Of course we would. It's the same thing with the gospel. We're called to share the gospel of the good news to a lost and dying world because we have light. We have truth. We have the gospel. And it's not only evangelism. It's really an application that could apply to anything. Think about it for a moment. Maybe someone needs a word of encouragement. Maybe somebody's going through a tough time. The worst thing we could do is hide the word of the truth. Why not go to them and share an encouraging word? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. How about sharing that with somebody who needs some encouragement? Hey, brother, you struggling? Hey, we've all been there, but you know what? We have Christ Jesus. Christ is in us. Christ is living in us, and he's living through us, and we can do all things. Even in the midst of our circumstances, we're going to make it. Amen? Amen. It's a word of encouragement. How about comfort? Maybe someone around us needs comfort. They need comfort in the midst of their trials, and they don't know if tomorrow is coming, or if tomorrow is coming, they don't know what's going to hit them. How about sharing Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work will complete it till the day of Christ's return through Christ? God's going to complete the work, brother or sister. He's working. Why not share that word? Why do we hide it? Someone needs to hear good news. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. I need it. You need it. We all need it during times of struggles in life. How about exhortation? How about exhorting a brother or sister? Proverbs chapter 3, many of you know this, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. What a glorious promise that you can give as an exhortation to somebody who's struggling. Hey, brother, you know what? We have to turn to God. We've got to trust in God. We can't lean on our own understanding, because sometimes when we do, we get more confused. We have to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And you know what? The promise is that he will direct our paths. He'll make them smooth. So why hide the word? Why not share the gospel? Why not share a word of encouragement or a word of comfort or exhortation? God wants to use you this morning. He wants to use you. Don't hide the light. Hear with me, say amen.
Amen.
And then he concludes in verses 24 and 25 that we are accountable to what we hear from God and apply. Look at verse 24. He says, take heed what you hear. Listen to what is being said. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you, or will be given to you. And to you who hear, more will be given to you. For whoever has, to him much will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. What is Jesus saying? Well, in verse 24, he's saying, the more we share, the more we will be given. The more we share. Knowledge is important. It's important to know truth. I think it's important to study the Bible, to study to show ourselves approved before God. Knowledge is wonderful. But the key thing about knowledge is applying it, applying knowledge. And according to verse 24, the more knowledge that we receive and we apply in our lives, the more insight and more knowledge will be given back. So apply the knowledge that you have, and you're going to gain insight and wisdom into that. Scripture memory is wonderful. If you have a scripture memory program, I think it's great. But you know what? The best way to remember scripture is doing it, is applying it. And then when you apply it, God gives you insight and wisdom into that knowledge of scripture. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Sometimes we apply the word, we do what it says, and man, we're blessed. We get insight, deep insight into scripture. And James speaks about that beginning in verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, look at this, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So he's saying, here's what happens. We get knowledge about the Bible. It's like looking in a mirror. You look in the mirror and you go, okay, I got it. Looks good. Then you walk away and you go, what did I just see? I forgot. Let me look again. This is what happens when we become hearers of the word and not doers. We read it. We go, yeah, that's a great verse. And then we move on and we forget it. James goes on and says, be a doer of the word. And you know what? You'll be blessed in the process. You'll gain more insight, more revelation, more truth by simply doing it. Someone said, how can I gain insight from God? I want more knowledge, but I want wisdom. I want to gain insight. I want God to speak to me. Be a doer of the word. Do it. If you do what the scripture says, you'll know what it means. Amen? Amen? Be a doer. That's how we remember scripture. There's beautiful truth to that that Jesus is saying in this parable. And then he concludes in verse 25, says, but whoever has, to him more will be given. Look at that. He says, you gain and you apply it in your life, you're going to gain more insight, more knowledge, and more wisdom in your life. But he says, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. The less we share, even what we have will be removed. This is why we forget scripture. We forget because we don't do it. No application. Knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up. Puffs up. But love builds up. When we have knowledge and we say, Lord, I've got the knowledge of your truth. I am going to apply it. I'm going to apply it on my job. I'm going to apply it, ready? To my wife, to my husband. I'm going to apply it in my life. I am just going to do it. And you begin to apply it, no matter what the response is, man, you will be blessed because you're obeying God. And by obeying God, you're going to gain more insight, more knowledge into what that passage means. And God will give you more insight. You ever wonder why when people get saved, there are some that just commit fully to God and they're growing leaps and bounds. And there are some that commit their lives to Christ that grow very, very slow because they hear God's word and they don't apply it. I've been there, right? You go through those seasons in your walk with the Lord and you know the truth, but you don't do it. And that's taken away. But when you do apply it, man, insight you will gain more than ever. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. It's not only being a hearer, but a doer of the word. So we have a responsibility as believers to share God's word. And the primary point here he's speaking of is the gospel. But in application, it applies to everything. We'll gain more insight. So it's like our second point this morning in verses 26 through 29. And this is fascinating. The mystery of our spiritual growth. This is the second parable. Verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself doesn't know how. Jesus starts with another parable referred to as the parable of the growing seed. Verse 26, he speaks about scattering the seed. This is the farmer. In fact, it's interesting that this is the only parable that is not recorded in the other Gospels, but is recorded here in Mark. It's really a follow-up to the parable of the sower that we talked about last week, about sowing the seed of the gospel. Remember, as I mentioned when I kicked the sermon off, four soils, three no fruit, one had fruit. This is the one that had fruit. And Jesus begins to expound on how that seed grows. And he gives the analogy once again of a farmer who sows seed. So picture in your mind a farmer in his field grabbing his seed and throwing it, and it falls on good ground. It's that one that produces fruit. And verse 27 speaks of the farmer who sleeps by night and rises by day. But he himself doesn't know how this seed grows. So this farmer plants the seed, and he does what he has to do, right? He waters it, he fertilizes it, he goes to sleep. Gets up the next day, sun comes out, he prays for the sun to come out. Some days he prays for rain to come out. And then the seed, he begins to do the same thing. Water. Might dig around, might throw a little fertilizer on it. But the farmer himself doesn't know how the seed grows. Right? He plants that seed on the ground. The seed, listen to this. The seed goes in the ground. Right? It goes in the ground. The seed is buried. And then that seed cracks open. And then that seed begins to grow mysteriously. And then next thing you know, the farmer doesn't do anything. He just does what he can. He waters, he fertilizes, but he doesn't understand how the seed grows. And so in application, what is the Lord saying? He's saying that the mystery of the new birth, when it takes place, you don't know how this happens. So when you got saved, when you came to Jesus Christ, somebody shared the gospel to you. You received the gospel. You turned from your sin. You came to Christ. And next thing you know, your eyes are open. You begin to understand spiritual things. See, Pastor Chuck, can you explain it? I can't. It's like the farmer. He can't explain how that seed dies, cracks, opens, new life, grows. He can't. It's the same way with the new birth. Can't explain it. He continues on. Look at me at verse 28. He says, for the earth yields crops by itself. Nothing. The farmer can't do anything. It goes by itself. And he says, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is how the Lord works. The seed matures to grain. How does it happen? It's a mystery. Just thinking of an analogy this week, think about how you came to be as a human being. Sperm, egg, an explosion takes place. Life. Oh, I could say, well, you have the sperm and the egg and it created life. But how? I don't know. Only thing I know is I'm coming close to 60 and I'm alive. It's a mystery. It's God. It's God. God can only create life. And there comes a day when we will be reaped. Why is Jesus sharing this parable? Because he doesn't want you and me, believers, to be discouraged after we share the gospel. He wants us to be patient like the farmer. You have a loved one that doesn't know Christ. You sow the seed. What do? You pray. Lord, I pray that you continue to work on so-and-so's heart because I want them to be saved. You are a good example in front of that person. You give another angle of being a good witness, and then you say, Lord, I want your light to shine through me to influence this person for Christ. But you and I cannot create the new birth. It's a mystery in that person's heart. Only God can. So don't be discouraged for loved ones that don't know Christ. Keep praying for them. Keep being an example before them. Be like the farmer. Keep sowing. Keep watering. And remember that God gives the increase. Don't get weary for our loved ones that don't know Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get weary. This is an encouraging parable of the growing seed. Be encouraged. I have loved ones that I prayed for many years. Many years. Some have come to Christ. Some have not. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for your loved ones. Amen? Don't give up. Don't get faint. Just like the farmer, he's got to go to bed. He goes to sleep. He still makes his breakfast in the morning. Shredded wheat back then. He does what he has to do. But God gives the increase. So we see the mystery of our spiritual growth. And let's look at our final point this morning. The expansion of God's kingdom in the world. Look at verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? Here's another parable. It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Here's another parable. This is referred to as the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed, according to verse 30 and 31, is the smallest seed on the earth. Now, people have questioned that and said, well, wait a minute. There are smaller mustard seeds, or there are smaller seeds than the mustard seed. Well, Jesus is saying this in the context of the nation of Israel. He's saying in the land of Israel, there's no seed smaller than the mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen one. I remember a buddy of mine who went to Israel, and he had a plastic container, and it had a seed in it, and it was a mustard seed. The size of it was like a grain of sand. Can you imagine how small that is? It is so tiny. And he shows me this. He goes, hey, man, that's mustard seed. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So he gave me a visual on what it looks like. It's like a grain of sand. It's tiny. And he's referring here to the black mustard seed. And in the text, it's the smallest seed, but it grows into a great big shrub, or really a tree, referred to as the mustard shrub or tree. This small little grain grows into a shrub or a tree, really looks like a tree, that grows about 15 feet high and wide. Could you imagine that? From one little tiny grain, grows big. What is he saying? He's saying that small seed is a seed that is small, and when it grows up, it becomes the greatest of all compared to its size. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of God, Christianity. Remember, this is the beginning. You got Jesus, the founder of Christianity, is like the small mustard seed. One person. The next thing you know, he dies on the cross, raises from the dead, then he's got 12 gung-ho apostles. And then after his resurrection, he appeared to over 500 people that got saved. And then you begin to see this mustard seed growing in a form of Christianity, beginning with Jesus, beginning with the apostles, beginning with the 500, and the apostles go out into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the world today, Christianity has influenced more in society than any other belief system. Think about our country here in America. Our foundations are Judeo-Christian foundations. It's because someone started with the gospel. Mexico, Canada, North America, Central America, South America have been influenced for the gospel. This seed grew and expanded largely. It scattered into the Middle East. Grant you, the Middle East and China and all of them, a lot of them have barriers to the gospel. But still, the gospel is still penetrating in that world. It's this huge, if you will, tree that explodes from a tiny seed. That's Christianity. But notice what he says in verse 32. He says, "And all the shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." What is he speaking about here? Birds of the air. How do we know what this means? Well, we know what it means because if you flow through chapter 4, last week we saw that when the seed was sown on the hard soil, the wayward soil, Satan came and snatched that seed. And it says a bird came and ate the seed. So the bird here represents evil, represents Satan. So what you have in the church, and you got to catch this, in the church you have the kingdom of God, which is mixed. In the name of Christianity, throughout the years, you have true believers, false believers, in the name of Christianity. Right? There have been people throughout the centuries have named the name of Christ and killed people. Think about it. The 12 apostles. One of them was Judas Iscariot. Right? He was one. What about when the early church began? In Acts. Acts chapter 4 and 5 talks about Ananias and Sapphira. They were slain dead. They were false converts. And then you continue on. Even in the first century, in the name of Christianity, you had false teachers. I mean, the whole Bible, every book of the New Testament mentions false teachers trying to creep into the church. Back then it was Gnosticism. Claimed to have a secret knowledge of who Jesus is, and they taught all this weird stuff about Jesus. Today you've got them too. You've got them in the church. Jehovah's Witnesses in the name of the Christianity. Mormons in the name of Christianity. So you have this huge tree, but there's birds in the nest. And it's up to us as true believers that are born again to discern the true from the false. Amen? Amen? Just turn on Christian television, right? You're going to get some good ones on there. You're going to get some that aren't. You have to discern. But that's Christianity. We have the prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus. I'll make you rich. God will make you rich. And then you're involved in it, and you either realize it's a bunch of bunk because the only one that's getting rich is the pastor, or you begin to fake it like you are rich under the name of Christianity. So we see Jesus is saying in this parable, the parable of the mustard seed, that Christianity is going to explode, and it did, and it still is. The blessings of Christianity in the world, but birds are in the trees. Then he concludes in verses 33 and 34 about the subject of parables. He says, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." That's key. As they were able to hear it. They had to have spiritual insight to understand the parable. And if they didn't understand, as we talked last week, you go to Jesus. What's the story about a seed growing into a tree? That's nice. I see that in Israel. That's wonderful. But what does it mean? Go to Jesus. This is verse 34. "But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone," here it is, "he explained all things to his disciples." You get that? He's separating the two groups. Those who really want to know are going to inquire. They're going to ask questions. They're going to want to know. That's why Jesus shared parables. Jesus is at the point, he's a little bit over a year in his ministry. He knows that the nation has already rejected him, so he's reaching out to individuals. And those who really want to know are going to ask. By the way, I'm not Jesus, but if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Feel free to ask. If I don't know it, I'll find out. Be inquisitive. That's a good thing. That's how we grow. I drove my pastor, my first real pastor I sat under, I drove him nuts. I remember on a Thursday night Bible study, attending there and asking him all these questions about end times, which I didn't have a clue of, and I wanted to know, and I asked him. And I keep him late hours. And then I remember on Sunday morning, his wife would come up to me and say, "So you're the one that kept my wife, my husband, from coming home Thursday nights." It's okay. Grow. Ask God, man, Lord, give me a hunger and a desire for spiritual things. I want to know more. I want to know more about the Word. I want to grow. We all go through seasons of drought. But the Lord this morning, he wants to encourage you to grow in him. Be an encourager. Share God's word, as point one said. Share God's word. Share the truth of the gospel. Share an encouraging word to somebody who needs to hear it. Be discerning. God wants to use you. Don't hide your light. Secondly, God wants you to understand that the new birth is a mystery. You're never going to fully understand it. And he says all that to say, you were born again of incorruptible seed through the word of God, as Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 says. Through the word of God, you were born again. Be encouraged that when you don't see people grow or people get saved, continue to pray for them. Don't give up. Don't give up. God doesn't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep being a good example. Keep loving them. That's why he shared that parable. And thirdly, the expansion of the kingdom. We see Christianity spread all over. But there are birds in the air. Be discerning. This is all you have right here. This and the Holy Spirit. To discern. But be grateful. I thank God the kingdom is exploding in Iran. Wow. Worship team comes forward. In Iran, where the gospel is essentially shut off in Iran. It's illegal. Think about it. It's illegal to preach the gospel in Iran. But you know what? They're getting the gospel through satellite. There's a very, very well-known Iranian evangelist who has a ministry on the air, has television and radio, that's getting into the airwaves that the Iranian government can't stop. And this is why you're seeing a revival in Iran. You either are saved or you're not there. And people are like, I have nothing to live for. We are so oppressed by the government. We are so oppressed. We're hungry. Inflation is high. We have nothing but God, but Jesus, but God. We're going to trust in him. It's all about the next life. And when you live for the next life, guess what? This life becomes worth more. Amen. That's why we're looking at young kids today. It's heartbreaking, the suicide rate of young kids. They have no hope. No hope. It's heartbreaking. Break up with a guy. Get kicked out of their parents' house. They're shattered. You may not realize it, but somebody you may work with or you know might be going through some tough struggles. Why not be an encourager and love on them? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for these wonderful parables. They're profound. They're very deep. But when we pull them out, they're simple to understand. So, Lord, we thank you for the insight you've given us through these parables. I pray that we become hearers and doers of the word, Lord, in our lives. and may you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.